Hello, you are tuned in to Justice Radio. I'm Cage Johnson.
And I'm AJ Stash.
Last month in our first episode as your new Justice Radio show hosts, AJ and I interviewed each other to introduce ourselves as your new hosts. Today, we're joined by our third co-host, fellow member of Healing First, and longtime restorative justice facilitator, Hawa Mohammed.
Together as Healing First, we're co-hosting this monthly episode on Justice Radio. Today, we'll be asking Hawa some questions to get to know her as another co-host of Justice Radio and someone who brings a wealth of knowledge and experience in the world of restorative justice. So Hawa, who are you? How did you come into this work? How do you integrate your identity into your work?
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks, AJ and Cage. So as you both said, I have been working in restorative justice for a few years. I think how I came into this work initially is I was searching for answers. I was already working with a couple of community members at the Main Access Immigrant Network. We were hosting kind of facilitated circles and discussions in a round circle to address community problems within the Somali community. And I really loved the format of the circle. I just really wanted kind of a reflection of that in, you know, outside of the Main Access Immigrant Network, and I couldn't find it. And I was really searching for answers on how to address harm and, you know, conflict in our community without resorting to the traditional criminal justice system or any like punishment. And I knew that already existed in Somali culture. So, you know, when I was online one day, I stumbled upon a post that my friend made and I had the words restorative justice. And I thought it was very interesting. And as soon as I learned that word, I looked it up and I felt like that was a light bulb moment where it's like, this is the word of the, you know, the world that I was trying to help create with other people. So it was very interesting to kind of go through that interview and learn more during the interview about what restorative justice is. And I just felt called to it. I felt like this was the thing that I was searching for. And as a Somali person, you know, circle practice, sitting in circle, it's very natural and innate to us. And I think we try to be, I think there's a culture of like self-resiliency or just resiliency in general, where we really want to solve the problems at home on our own, right? So we want to solve our problems as a community. We want to solve it as a family, as a part of a, you know, interconnected network. So I really want to make sure to push that kind of energy and that vibe forward in my work.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing, Hala. And I just love, you know, how you described that moment of like hearing the word, like just, you know, learning of restorative justice. I feel like everyone has that moment. And I'm always so interested when in people's journeys did they actually come to even learn the phrase, because we're just, you know, it's not something that most of us are taught in, you know, like our education system or anything. So I love that you even like described coming into that. Yeah, thanks for sharing. I'm curious to know a little more from your perspective, how we've been working, you know, with each other for years now, but I have never asked this question of you. What does meaningful justice mean to you?
Yeah, I love this question so much because I feel like it already gives you a picture of kind of what we're talking about already just in the question. Meaningful justice, I'll be honest, I've never heard of that term before this. And I think it's a great way to describe kind of the world that I'm trying to build towards or working with people to build towards. So I think for me, meaningful justice, I mean, I'm thinking of justice, right? I'm thinking of transformative justice. I'm thinking of all the different ways that justice, what it looks like in practice. Justice is, people tend to think about accountability, but when I think of meaningful justice, I think of support. I think of caring for people's needs. I think of growth. I think of recognizing and understanding that people are on their own stages of growth, and we can also help each other and lean on each other as we're developing, because so much of our inner personal work is connected to the work that we do. It's a reflection of, you know, who we are and how we feel about ourselves. A meaningful justice for me is like a beloved community in which that justice is in all forms, right? And that connection and that interconnectedness is really embedded in the community, and that people honor each other's needs and they see each other for who they really are and all of their gifts. That really kind of summarizes what meaningful justice means to me.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's such a beautiful answer to that question. And yeah, I remember learning this quest, like, you know, the phrase meaningful justice the first time too. It was introduced to me by Marley Liss, the survivor of who founded Survivors for Justice Reform. And she often talks about how that like was a pivotal moment for her when a friend asked her after experiencing assault and everything, sexual assault, like, what would meaningful justice look like to you? And it was like the profound moment where, like, you know, she kind of was able to like find restorative justice through that question. And so I love asking people that. It's totally stolen from
Oh,
reused
I
from
love
Marley
that.
Liss. Shout out. Yeah, thank you for that answer. And I love this, the term beloved community. And I just wonder if you could tell us a little more about that and what vision you hold for that in the future. Like, where does that come from?
So my definition of a beloved community actually changed a little bit because when I was working at, a nonprofit earlier, I think my answer to that was reflected in the learning that I had at the time, the teaching that I had, the wisdom that I had at the time. I think it's grown over time when I've learned and seen and experienced other people in their own communities. So that's just, it's been a very eye-opening experience in these last few years working with Merge and Healing First and other community members so that, I'm able to kind of delve into their own dream of what a beloved community means. So I feel like for me, it's accumulation of all the things that I've kind of collected, all the nuggets of wisdom that I've collected with people. And for me, a beloved community is interpreting all of that. So talking about, one's personal journey and not being so scared and so terrified to just admit that, admitting vulnerability in society is very, very scary to do. So I think having a sense of ease and understanding and comfort with it within each other so that people are able to be a little bit more vulnerable and show more of themselves, where there's a little bit extra sensitivity and extra care for each other. That's what, for me, what a beloved community means.
Yeah, thank you for that answer. I really love that. And
Yeah.
it makes so much sense too, like the vulnerability kind of opening the door for, you know, people to even like be able to admit when they've done something wrong or
Right.
if they've caused harm and like not spiral out in shame. Like, I just really love that emphasis on vulnerability. Thank you for explaining more on that answer.
I am so loving everything that you're sharing with us. And when I think of vulnerability, I think of what does it take for someone to feel safe enough to be vulnerable? And I feel a lot of that has to do with how someone is feeling. How do you define how you're safe enough? It's like your connection to your body and your nervous system and like being aware of what's happening internally. And so I'm wondering, like, how does like somatics come into this field of work for you, and how important is that for you?
Yeah, and I love this question because I think it I touched upon it a little bit in my previous answer when I was talking about kind of the vulnerabilities, like you said, AJ. I think for me, somatics is important because I've learned in my own healing journey as a practitioner of restorative justice, those two things are so connected, and it is extremely crucial for you to connect the two. And I feel like I'm a lifelong learner and a lifelong student of, people who just know more. I'm always seeking wisdom. I'm always curious about other people because I'm realizing that there are parts of this journey that I was not able to experience and am experiencing now. And like hearing the experiences and the voices of other people and their journeys has really like helped me grow and recognize other things that I've never even thought about, other populations, other communities, other issues that are ongoing that I never would have thought about had I not, met a variety of different practitioners in this space. The importance of somatics is recognizing just how important it is to feel because our society is one where, we're really primed and trained not to feel, right? We're really primed and trained not to recognize the different sensations in our bodies, recognize the things in our gut. I mean, for me, it sounds elementary to say because it sounds almost ridiculous that we don't have that connection to our bodies. But I'm really trying to connect with my body this year. And that's one of my goals, is to delve deeper into my body, because then it will tell me a lot about myself and how I operate and how I show up in, with other people. I'm learning things about myself that I've never learned about, that I've never even thought about. So for me to have this knowledge, it is inevitably going to be reflected on, in my everyday life, hopefully, once I embed that knowledge. But the more you know about yourself, the more you know about other people, and the more you can be a better practitioner. So truly knowing oneself, I feel like, is the key to this.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Hawa. I love the connection between knowing yourself helps you know others and know how you operate in community and like how you all hold each other in community. And I totally agree. Like the dominant culture really leads us into this place of feeling very separate from our bodies so that we can be cogs in the machine that they want us to be in. And so it is just so important to be able to repair that connection that we have with our bodies if it has been, severed at some point or damaged at some point, or and continue to learn and grow with that. And it sounds like you are definitely on, your own path of personal healing. I heard you say like this year you want to be really in touch with your body. So how does that come into play as a restorative justice practitioner, like your own healing journey?
Yeah, I feel like for me, everything, I feel very embodied in my emotions, and I'm a very dramatic person. I'm a very dramatic person. Love drama, but I feel like what that really means is I'm very passionate and very expressive. And I'm noticing that, my passion for things, if you sit down for just a second, right? Like you notice patterns and you notice when your energy goes up and when your energy goes down. We talk about the society and how it doesn't give us that even that 1 second, that 1 minute to even sit down and assess what's going on. But I've allowed myself to finally do that this year. And it was always go, 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 go. And I've not been doing a lot of reflection. And I mean, I feel like I've been doing a lot of reflection, but not embodying this work. So my goal, my task for myself this year was to actually embody it. And there's a difference. I'm realizing there's a really big difference between knowing something and embodying it and actually acting on that belief. So that's something that I'm really training my mind to do. And I feel like that's something that, comes up in restorative justice when I'm in circles with people, right? Like it's going back to the principle of like practicing what you preach. If I want people to really sit down and reflect and know themselves and know, the harms that they're capable of, and be aware of the harms that, they may have not known, I'm asking a lot for someone to do. And I'm asking for them to really sit in discomfort and really assess all the parts of themselves that they don't maybe not want to assess, right? Or not want to look at. We're hardwired as wrong to other people, right? We only focus on the things that we've gone through that has happened to us. So that perspective shifted for me for this year. And I focused on, how I'm showing up in my space with other people. And for me to ask that of someone in the circle, I made the promise that I'm going to do the same. It's going back to the whole, interconnectedness of community and making sure that you have the same commitments as everybody else in the circle. As a facilitator, we have to do the work that we're asking other people to do. So really just practicing what I preach is kind of like the key for me right now.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Hawa. I think that is so important in any kind of healing practitioner work where we are doing the work alongside of the people that we are helping or facilitating or
Right.
showing up for.
And now we'll be taking a short break. Welcome back to Justice Radio, where we're introducing our co-host, Hawa Mohammed, of this monthly show. I'm Kids Johnson.
And I'm EJ Stash. Just a little follow-up to like this question. Is there any practices or things that you want to start practicing, any kind of like habits or rituals that will help you in doing this year?
It's funny that you mentioned this, AJ, because I feel like you're one of the people that I've just kind of mentioned my mind in terms of like those, all the people in my life in the last year that have helped me with this perspective shift, learning about other people's work and how, because I know in your work, semantics, I mean, not semantics, but semantics is an important part of your work. Maybe semantics is too, I don't know. I love, and also like your energy, you bring a sense of just comfort and ease to me just immediately. And I didn't know what that was when I first met you. I was like, what's going on? Like, why do I feel so settled when I'm like talking to this person?
That's so sweet.
You settle people very well. So I don't remember where I was going with this. Oh, so basically that retreat, you know, we had a restorative justice retreat that, you know, Healing First and other people, you know, Cage, you were one of the organizers there. And I'm always going to be eternally grateful for that retreat because it really opened my mind up to what, you know, a perfect, not perfect, but a beloved community could really look like. So I think for me, I just want to incorporate so much of that as much as possible. And I'm not going to be, I'll be honest, I don't remember the question.
Yeah, the question was about, are there practices or rituals that you could see yourself like using to like embody these things more? I could even add a follow-up question a little bit, like piggyback on it, but just I was curious like to hear from you about, you know, it's so interesting to hear you speak about like all of the somatic stuff, and I would love to know if there are people, teachers out there who embody or, you know, teach somatic work who you might recommend, like who have been some of your influences or like mentors in the somatic realm. I can always think of like Prentice Hemphill always comes to mind for me, but I'm curious like if there's folks that you might recommend or who come to mind.
Honestly, there are a couple of people in our restorative justice community that, like, in our own little main community that come to mind. So it's not like people that I've written, I mean, maybe they wrote books, but I learned so much from the people around me, like, just observing and just really admiring and just being so curious about the people around me. And I think I mentioned AJ, as an example because feeling so settled near them, like, I think that allowed me to kind of learn more about myself and learn about if I'm actually settled in public. Like that was an example of like, okay, that experience helped me realize like, am I actually regulated when I'm meeting people? And I realized I wasn't. I was not regulated. I was not. I was really not. So like just that experience was so helpful for me. And even all the breathing practices, I'll be honest, in Somali culture, like we don't do a breathing practice or like a meditation practice before circle. We go in circle, we're already feeling a lot of energy about what's happening. The facilitator does a really great job at making sure that everybody's on the same level emotionally. However, there aren't any meditative practices. So that was kind of relatively new for me to always do that. And the practice of it happens all the time. Like we take breaks, we breathe, you know, like the beginning of the circle, we got to do a breath. Like at first, that was a little like, okay, I was like, okay, fine, I'll just do it. Because, you know, but I'm realizing, I re realized how important it was to be regulated and settled because then you get connected to your consciousness and your wisdom. That's just an example of kind of learning every day from the people around me.
Absolutely. It makes total sense. And it makes me curious, you know, like it's one thing to be practicing it in like day-to-day moments, like just, you know, when you meet people, like you said, right? Like, am I really regulated? And then it makes me think about like in those hard moments, okay, if we're practicing it all the time, being able to actually tap into that and be embodied in those hard times when harm has happened or when conflict has just taken place, what is the first thing you do? Like, do you immediately check in with yourself, turn to somatics? Like, what is your sort of process with, you know, when you run into things like that?
I think for me, like the biggest thing has been awareness of it first. Like, even being aware that something is happening to your body is like very crucial for me because then that makes a big difference. So for me, like as long as I'm aware of what's happening, I can respond to my body because I'm noticing that I do take care of myself once I'm aware. The trick is I have to be aware of it. So like there's a lot of not awareness, right? Like you're just not checking into your body. I personally always make sure that I'm doing like a quick little energy check before I meet with somebody. I want to make sure that my breathing is okay, right? Like if I'm not aware of it, there are somatic things that I can check, you know, if my heart rate is pumping, if my blood is pumping fast, you know, if my eyes are dilated, if I'm sweating, you know, there are physical things that will tell you that, you know, you're in a stressful kind of energy right now. So just paying attention to that has been really crucial for me.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. I'm also wondering if there are, related to this, if there's advice that you would give others, like in this field of work, other practitioners or future practitioners, maybe people who are just, kind of joining the club, joining the field of like restorative and transformative justice. Like what do you wish you had known, back when, I don't know, early on when you started, or what do you think is helpful advice?
Yes, I feel like for me, I'm actually genuinely I'm looking back to what was a little uncomfortable for me at moments. There were so many moments in this journey that were like, I don't know if I'm ready for that, but then I just did it, and then I realized after, I was like, oh my gosh, that was so important to do. But I think for me, one of them was just making sure that there's some sort of creativity and some sort of fun. Those two things are so crucial for us. As human beings, as practitioners, as people that deal with conflict every day, we're swimming in the emotions of other people, right? We're in that, we're swimming in that ocean. We need to be able to release that at some point. We need to be able to let go of that extra energy that stays in our bodies until we do something about it. Creativity is so important for me, and also just having fun. Laughter is so important. Crying is so important. So, like, just the expression of emotions, allowing ourselves to actually express those emotions. And we need to be silly. There needs to be a lot more silliness around. Like, people are not silly enough. And I love doing this radio show with you too, because I get to be silly and I get to be myself. So, like, I really think people underestimate the need for fun in our lives. So, I'm going to be doing a lot of that. A lot. I'm going to be having so much fun. I'm just kidding. I'm going to be doing
Totally.
a lot more fun this year
Yeah.
to just take care of myself as a practitioner. And I really, really, really encourage everybody listening, and you too also, to have more fun.
I mean, my body like loosens up just hearing you say that. Like I feel like I like oh, I can breathe a little
Breathe
deeper
a
even
sigh
just
of
hearing you
relief.
say
Yeah.
that.
Got loose a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, you're so right.
Same. I feel like in recent years, I've gotten maybe a little bit away from my silliness. It's just kind of been like a theme for me. And I don't know what that's about. And I really want to reconnect more with being silly and like
Yes.
not censoring myself when I have those like silly thoughts or like just like that urge to say something off the cuff that
Yes.
is gonna make people laugh maybe or maybe
Yes.
not. But I find that like that tendency to not be silly comes from that censoring of myself
Yes.
and censoring of like my childlike nature, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
Goes back to like, the disconnect from body too. And yeah, so I just love how like we're kind of coming full circle on that moment. And speaking of like being silly and just laughing more and having more fun, I'm just really wondering also like how are you finding nourishment and replenishment for yourself currently?
That's a good question, because sometimes I forget to do that. And I feel like a lot of us forget to do that, to take care of ourselves. I've met such incredible people and organizers in this space where, like we do a lot. We are spreading care to others, right? And like that feels so natural and innate to us. But, there tends to be an imbalance, right? Where we're putting out a lot, but we're not bringing that back in. And I think that I mean, I'm the first, I'll point the first finger at myself. I really tend to do that. And I tend to overgive sometimes in moments of uncertainty or stress. Honestly, sitting with yourself and trying to figure out what your response is when there is stress is maybe not fun, not like hilarious, but like it really will help you learn more about yourself so that you can stay balanced and stay regulated. Nourishment, I think food. I think immediately, I just think food. Like I had chicken tikka masala with AJ the other day, a few days before this radio show, and that was so like it warmed me up and filled me up in so many ways. So I think just sharing meals and actually doing the hard work of inviting yourself, forcing yourself, and in the communities of other people and the spaces of other people goes a long way. And we're so siloed in this work. So incredibly siloed. We're all in our little cubicles and our little boxes. So I think for us to just connect with each other is so important, and I don't want to understate that. So yeah, just connection, community, and fun is just so nourishing. And sun, but gotta wait a couple of months for that.
It's coming. It's on its way.
It's on its way. It's
It's
taking some time, but
Thank you, Hala. Thank you for the reminders too. It's like it's important. I also wanted to ask you, I was thinking about just, how much work, how long you've been in like the restorative justice world and like doing this work. And I feel like you have so many stories and experiences that like so many people don't get to maybe experience or have. And I would love to just be able to ask you about what you feel like, can be healing about like restorative and transformative justice from what you've witnessed and experienced as a facilitator. And are there any examples of some of like the most powerful or healing or meaningful moments from any of the processes that you've facilitated?
That's a great question because it allows me to think about all the things that restorative justice circles in this practice has given me. And I think that there is an exchange that happens, right? Like you are helping a lot of people, but you're also doing so much of that energy exchange. Like you are inevitably changed because of it. Like I think a part of me is changed after every circle, every time I do a full restorative process, it teaches me something new about myself because it allows you to see conflict and see harm and pain and the effects and the impacts of it in real time. For me, I've noticed, like in my personal experience, just conflicts that I've had with people growing up in the past that I've kind of buried under the rug, I'm noticing will come out in a circle, eventually. So it gives me the opportunity to see my own role in a certain conflict that I've had and gives me another way to see it from a different perspective. And that itself was so helpful because it allowed me to heal so many of my conflicts that I didn't even know were still in my body until I was able to be a facilitator for that specific circle talking about that conflict. So selfishly, it's helped me so many times because it's given me so many multiple perspectives, every time I've done a restorative justice process.
That's incredible. And I feel like it's just kind of resounding in my head. Like, I sort of have translated what you just said into like, it's not just a process for the people who, it was called for, right? Who are
Right.
participating. But it's sort of like I heard you say, like, everyone walks away more healed from
Yes.
it, like anyone who's part of it. And I'm just like, oh, it just floors me. Like,
Oh,
that's just
thank you.
incredible.
Yeah. I
Thank
feel like
you.
that's the stuff, right? That's the stuff of like true healing work is like everyone walking away feeling more enriched, no matter like what kind of form or modality. But I feel like that's the goal, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Well,
you're changed forever.
definitely.
Forever.
Forever. I feel like that's a, great note, being changed forever, to end on. So thank you so much, Hawa, for being on here with us today. And with thanks to bluesman Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series. And to Aaron Pyle, our sound engineer, we are Justice Radio.
Thanks for listening.
Thank
Thanks,
you.
y'all.